I'm excited. We're going to begin our series today, a series called Accelerate. We're going to look at, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at five habits to accelerate my spiritual growth. We're going to look at a different habit each week. And the idea here is we want to give you the tools that you need to be able to grow spiritually. And, you know, I've been thinking about tools lately. The other night, the Meckles were up here putting in that conference table in the conference room. It's a beautiful table, by the way. You need to go in there and look at it if you haven't seen it yet. We're very fortunate to have it. They were putting that in there and working a little bit and said, well, do you have a hammer? I need a hammer. So I went and found a toolbox, and we got the tools that we needed. And I noticed that when they had a little screw that they needed to screw in, they used the screwdriver instead of the hammer. And then when there was something that needed to be banged on, they got the hammer to bang on. Now, I thought about that, and I realized my favorite tool has to be the hammer because that's about the only thing I get. I understand how the hammer works. You see something that needs to be banged on, you get the hammer and you bang on it. I got that tool down. A lot of tools I don't understand, but I get this one. It's not too complicated. When it's time to bang on something, I'm ready. I can do that. I'm ready to go. But you know what? There's something that has to happen to that hammer before it can do any good. What has to happen to that hammer before it can do any good? I've got to pick it up, and I've got to actually use it. That's what we're going to be doing over the next 5 weeks. I'm going to show you the tools that you can use that will accelerate your spiritual growth, but they're not going to do any good unless you actually pick them up and start using them. All I can do is bring you the toolbox. I'll even open the toolbox up for you. I'm going to pick up each tool and I'm going to describe it for you and teach you how to use it. But none of that's going to do any good unless you take the initiative to pick up that tool for yourself and to actually use it. So I want to encourage you to think in those terms as we go through these five habits. It's important for us to grow spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read that we are no longer to be children. Talking about spiritually, we're not supposed to stay spiritual children. It's the immature who are tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. It's the spiritually immature who fall for all of that. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Our goal then is to grow up into Christ-likeness. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to begin to develop some of the habits that will help us to accomplish that very thing. Let me ask you, where do you want to be 5 weeks from now? Think about that for just a minute. 5 weeks from now, do you just want to be 5 weeks older? Or do you want to have grown in those 5 weeks? And there's a big difference, isn't there? We get older all the time, but we don't grow all the time. 5 weeks from now, do you want to be able to look back and say, I am more like Christ than I was when we started? I've grown spiritually by understanding and using the different tools, by applying the different habits. See, spiritual growth doesn't just happen. When we are young, physical growth just happens. But spiritual growth does not just happen. Spiritual growth happens when you are intentional, when you decide to grow up, and then you do what is necessary to grow up. It doesn't just happen to us. We have to be intentional about it. Just like athletes have to have some discipline to spend time preparing before they compete. If you just jump into the competition, you're not going to do well if you haven't had the discipline to take time to prepare for that competition. We call that training. The athletes are in training before competition. With that in mind, look at 1 Timothy. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Let's get into training. Let's get into training so we can grow into godly people. We can become the people of God that He wants us to be. Whenever you start a new habit in life, you have to do two things. You have to block off the time for it, and then you have to go to the trouble to make it happen. So I want to be real clear and frank and honest with you up front. Coming these next 5 weeks and listening to what we're talking about and following along in your Bible, it's not going to make it happen for you. What all we're doing on Sunday morning is opening the tool chest and showing you how the different tools work. From here, though, you have to do the same two things that have to happen every time you start a habit in any way in life. You have to block off time for it. And then once you block off time for it, you have to go to the trouble to make it happen. After a while, though, you notice that it becomes routine. And once it's routine, it's a habit. And the good thing is, once something has become routine, it becomes a habit in your life, then all of a sudden, you don't have to think anymore about blocking off time for it, and you don't have to think anymore about going to the trouble to make it happen. It has just become a part of who you are. It's become a part of your life. That's what we want to accomplish in the very near future. Over these weeks, we're going to look at the habits. We're going to learn about the habits, and then we want to start to make them a part of who we are. We do that by setting aside time and by going to the trouble to make it happen. And if you'll do those two things with each habit, you'll wake up here in a few weeks and you'll be able to say, I'm not even thinking about making it happen. It just happens. It's just a part of who I am. And you'll be growing closer to Christ. It will accelerate your spiritual growth. So this morning, let's look at the first habit, which we would call personal Bible study. If you have your Bible with you, I invite your attention to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 16. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. You're very familiar with John 3:16. I want to encourage you, I've done this before, but I want to encourage you, one of these days when you have a few extra minutes, just look through the books of the Bible and find chapter 3:16. You'll be amazed at the power that you find in the verses that are 3:16 verses. John 3:16 is a great place to start. Use that as a reminder one of these days and just go through and look at the 3:16s in Scripture. This morning we're going to look at one that is incredible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin at verse 16. He says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. Notice he says all Scripture. We kind of tend to focus on the Scriptures we like, and we all like certain ones more than other because we've gone through different experiences, different Scriptures talk to us, and some of us like a challenge, and so we like the verses that challenge us, that step on the toes just a little bit. Some of us like to be comforted, and so we love those verses that bring us comfort. Some of us live such chaotic and crazy lives that what we like, what we need from Scripture is just a time of peace. And so we like those verses that bring peace. Understand, the various books, the various verses in Scripture all have different purposes and they play different roles in our lives, but all Scripture is inspired by God. So don't run too quickly over the passages that don't scratch your immediate itch. Remember, all Scripture is inspired by God. It says all Scripture is inspired by God and it is profitable. That means it's good for you. It is profitable for a series of things. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The Bible is inspired by God, and it's good for teaching, reproof, correction, and training, so that you will be ready to do all of the things that God calls you to do, that you'll be ready for every good work. And we have talked about this before, but I want to remind you what he means there when he says it's profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training. It's profitable for teaching means that the Bible shows us this is the path. There is instruction. There is teaching. It says, here is the path. This is the way to go. And so we begin our journey, and all of us are like sheep who've gone astray. We each kind of tend to go our own way. And the Bible says that it is profitable not only for teaching, but then it is profitable for reproof. Reproof says, hey, John, you're off the path. Reproof says, wake up, look around, you're not where you're supposed to be. And Scripture has a way of saying, you're not on the path anymore. It is profitable for teaching, it is profitable for reproof. Then what does it say? Not only is it profitable for teaching and reproof, but correction and training. So it teaches me where the path is. I get off of it. It reproves me. It says, hey, you're all on the wrong path. You're not on the right path. Then it is good for teaching me, instructing me how to get back on the path. And then it is good for helping me to stay on the path. It tells me the path. It tells me when I'm off. It tells me how to get back on. And it tells me how to stay there. Teaching, reproof, correction, training. In order that we might be adequate, equipped for every good work. And that is our goal, to do the things that God calls us to do. And with that in mind, here's the first step in making this habit a part of our lives. The first step in making the habit of personal Bible study a part of our lives, it begins when I admit I don't have all the answers. The Bible is here to teach me where the path is because I don't have all the answers. I won't see the path on my own. The Bible is here for reproof to teach me when I'm off the path because I won't be able to see that for myself. So I need the Bible to be able to teach me that. Once I see I'm off the path, I'm at a loss. I have no idea how to get back to the path. The Bible teaches me how to do that. And now how do I stay here? The Bible teaches me how to do it. So it all begins making personal Bible study a part of my life, a habit, begins when I admit I don't have all the answers. When I finally admit I don't have all the answers, then I'm ready to turn to the place that does have the answers. In Psalm 19 at verse 7, listen, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Continuing to verse 8, it says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart, and the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. In other words, the Bible has the answers that I don't have. When I finally admit I don't have the answers, then I can turn to the place where the answers are given. And once we begin with that kind of attitude, we realize that God gave us His Word so that we can be fully equipped, so that we can be prepared for everything that life will face in life. The second thing that I can do to make this habit a part of my life is to develop a plan for daily Bible study. When I start with my attitude, I start with, I don't have the answers. That proves my need for the Scripture. Now that I know I need the Scripture, I need a plan. I need to figure out how to make this happen. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says to keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Keep it, it says. And it says to meditate on it day and night. In other words, it is not enough to come to church on Sunday and have 9 o'clock Bible study, 10:15 worship, and then put your Bible on the shelf for the rest of the week. It's not enough, because just like the manna that fell from heaven, the manna came down from heaven, and the Israelites had to eat that manna that day. And then if they tried to hold on to it and eat leftovers the next day, it went bad already. God was teaching them to trust Him every single day. That's what Jesus means when He says, give us this day our daily bread. I need Him today. And so every day we need to go to the Word. I don't have the answers. I know where the answers are. And so I need to develop a plan that will help me be in the Word every day. What's your plan for taking in the Bible into your life on a daily basis? If you don't have a plan, it's going to be easy to find yourself 2 or 3 weeks down the road without having spent a single moment in the Bible. Without a plan, we just kind of realize, oh my goodness, I haven't even looked at the Bible in weeks or months or, shall we say, years. There are all kinds of Bible reading plans, and I don't know that one is that much better than the other. Just find a plan. You say, well, I don't know where to look. Google it. Google is your friend. Google it. You Google that thing and you're going to find more plans than you could spend a lifetime going through. They've got Bible apps that have plans built in. If you prefer to read Scripture on your iPad or your phone, get one of those apps. I prefer YouVersion. I think it's the best. I love it. They've got all kinds of apps that will, all kinds of plans that you can find one that fits your needs. You just find a plan so that you know when you sit down what you're going to do. There are all kinds that you can apply, and I want to encourage you to just find one and jump in there and get started. I'm going to share with you one of the things that I have found that works well. You can open the Bible in Genesis chapter 1:1 and read it all the way through to the end of Revelation. The problem, and it's not a problem, but the challenge with that is you start in Genesis, you're doing good. You get through Exodus, this is cool. You get to Leviticus, and all of a sudden, Leviticus is a difficult book. And too many of us try to read the Bible like a book, and we start at the beginning, try to get to the end, and we get about 3 books in, and all of a sudden, it's hard to keep this habit. So I'd suggest this. If you don't already have a plan, you're not already working something, try this. Start in the Gospel of John. Start at John chapter 1, verse 1. You're not going to dictate to yourself how much you're going to read each day. You're going to sit down at John 1, 1, and you're going to begin to read. As you read, as soon as God says something to you, as soon as you see something that touches you, as soon as God uses something to teach you, as soon as the Scripture begins to do its work on you, you're done for that day. You stop and you pray, and you talk to God about what you just learned. The next day you come and you pick up where you left off, and you go until God says something. And then you pray and you thank Him, and you apply what you learned, and then you move on. When you get through the Gospel of John, go back and do the other 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Then once you've done Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're ready to go on with the rest of the New Testament. Begin in Acts and go through the rest of the New Testament except for Revelation. When you get to Revelation, stop. Because now you want to go back and you want to get the Old Testament. You go through the whole Old Testament, reading a little bit each day until God speaks, and then you stop and you pray and you apply. Once you have the Old Testament, now you're ready to go get Revelation. Because believe it or not, a whole lot of Revelation is based on Old Testament. A lot of times the reason people don't understand Revelation is they didn't take time to learn what Revelation is based on. So John, the other Gospels, the New Testament except Revelation, Old Testament, Revelation. There's a plan that'll take you a very long time. A few years, probably, if you do it that way, where you just read until God speaks. But there's a plan. Find a plan. Another good plan. My youth pastor many years ago used to say, a proverb a day keeps the devil away. Not sure that that's completely 100% spiritually accurate, but I get his point. You know, there are 31 proverbs. What is really fun, really good, really powerful, if you get up and you do, if you could do something in the morning, read the proverb that corresponds to the date on the calendar that day. In other words, today is October 1. This is the perfect time to start this. Read Proverbs chapter 1 today. Do that in the morning. Then in the evening, you do what we just talked about. You read through John and then the Gospels, whatever. The next day, tomorrow, is October 2. So in the morning, read the second chapter of Proverbs. And then do your regular reading in the evening as well. And in every month. Now, there are some months that you won't be able to read the 31st chapter of Proverbs. That's okay. You go back on the first day of the month and you read Proverbs 1 again. And let the Proverbs challenge you and guide you in life. That's what Proverbs is all about. It's about wisdom. So there's just a, kind of a suggestion. You just do something. Find a plan. When you sit down and have no plan, then either you wind up not doing it at all, or you wind up frustrated because you don't know where you're going and it doesn't flow. You sit down and you just kind of open up the Bible and you point your finger. That's always scary. The guy who opened up the Bible pointed his finger. Judas went out and killed himself. He didn't like that. So he opened up again. He pointed and said, "Go thou and do likewise." He didn't like that. That's not a good plan. Have a plan so that you're motivated and you're guided to use the Bible in a meaningful way. Develop a plan for your daily Bible study. Acts chapter 17 says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true." I'm going to work hard to have something to say to you every Sunday. I want you to work hard to make sure what I'm saying is scriptural. Did you know that's part of your job? You take the Scriptures and you go home and you study every day so that if I start getting off track, you catch it before I do. The Bereans studied the Word every day to make sure what they were hearing was accurate. The third thing that you can do to make this habit a part of your life, you're going to start by admitting you don't have all the answers. Then you're going to develop a plan for using the Bible, for studying the Bible. Then the third thing is to journal my daily Bible study. Journaling is where you take something that you're learning in the Bible and you just transfer it into another book. You've got a little notebook. And remember I suggested that you read until God says something to you, whether it's a challenge or a comfort or a conviction, whatever it is. You're going to read until God says something to you. Now, you're thinking about that thought that he gave you. If you'll pick up your book and you write that down, that does three or four things all at once. One, it gives you a record so you can remember what you learned. Two, it plants it deeper inside. Because as you write, you learn even better than what you just read. It reinforces what you're learning. But in addition to that, not only is it just going to give you a record, not only is it going to help you learn it, but it becomes yours as you put it in your words. You're taking the Bible and you're making it a part of you as you put it in your words. So I'd encourage you to journal along the way as you learn. In Proverbs chapter 7, he says, "Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye." Treasure it. Treasure the word. Value it. Bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. That means to make them yours. Journaling is a great way, maybe the best way, for us to value and treasure Scripture and then make it ours. The fourth step, if you want to make this habit a part of your life, admit that you don't have all the answers, then come up with a plan so that you can study the Bible, and then journal while you study. And then number four, apply what you've studied. Number four is to apply what I studied each day. If you go to the trouble to come up with a plan, you go to the trouble to sit down and read, you go to the trouble to journal what you learned, and then you leave it there and walk away and live the same way you did before you started, you've wasted your time. James says that you've deceived yourself when you do that. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. James says it's kind of like we look at a mirror and we go in there and we look at a mirror, and when I look in the mirror, I got dirt over here, I got something in my teeth, my hair's all messed up. Don't say it. My hair's all messed up. And I say, well, I don't like the way that looks, so I'm just going to walk out and not look at the mirror anymore. What's wrong? I still got dirt and something in my hair and my messed up hair. Something in my teeth and my messed up hair. Nothing's changed. I just don't have to see it. I'm deceiving myself. If I don't see it, it's not there. I'm lying to myself. So James says, don't let that happen to you. Use this as a mirror, but then do something with what you learn. Don't be hearers only, but doers also. We need to stop thinking about the Bible as only a book of instruction. Instead, we want to think of it as a book of transformation. It's not just information, it's transformation. And the more we look at it, the more we learn about ourselves, the more we can be changed and become like Christ. In John 13, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. As you learn, make sure that you apply what you studied each day. So here's how I would do it. Every day, there's a five-step method. I'm going to start by getting quiet. Then I'm going to pray. God, teach me something. This is not prayer for Great Aunt Betsy. This is not prayer for the country. This is just a short, very quick, God, show me something today. Then I'm going to open the Bible and I'm going to follow my plan. Then I'm going to take a minute to think about it. That's where I might journal, in that second to think about it. Then I'm going to pray again. Now, Lord, now that I got your message, help me to live it out. And now here's where I might pray for Great Aunt Betsy and the country and everybody else. All right? Pray. Get quiet. Pray. Read. Think. Pray again. Pretty simple. That habit will go farther than any other habit that you have in your arsenal yet, to help you grow, to help accelerate your spiritual growth. Father, we pray that you'd help us to hunger for your word. Help us to treasure your word. Help us to make your word a part of us, make it personal. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to develop this habit so that we can become more like Christ. Toward that end, we pray that he would receive glory for all that happens in our development, in our spiritual growth, that he'd receive glory for the things we do in his name. Now, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would guide us during this time. We ask for it in Jesus' name. We're going to sing hymn 563, Open My Eyes That I May See. Lord, show me what it is you have for me. Show me who I am and who you are so I can be different, so I can grow up. As we sing, if God would call you to give your life to Christ, to trust him as your personal Savior and Lord, come and let's share that with the church. Come, let me pray with you. Perhaps he calls you as a believer to join the church or enter into missions or ministry. If he calls you to make a commitment in a public way, come and let's pray about it together.